Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And, of course, you can be a part of the program if you are listening live. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. Big day today. Canucks are taking on the Anaheim Ducks. And that is all we will be paying attention to on this beautiful Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else going on.
Really nothing else.
The biggest event on the calendar tonight.
I don't even know what else you would possibly be paying attention to. Is maybe some NBA games?
Yeah, no, the NBA
Champions
not.
League during the day. I watched Juventus tie with Lille. Of course, the great Jonathan David scoring a goal.
NBA took the day off for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're chilling today. They're chilling today.
Just wanted to leave the whole day open for the NHL.
Yeah, that's it. So the NHL center stage. And you're right. Juventus and Jonathan David. He did, I mean,
Coward can't score for Canada, but, you know, gets one chance against Juventus and just buries. Unbelievable.
Poor guy, Coward. But yeah, good for Jonathan David. Yeah. You were thinking about buying.
I hope he scores for Canada in the Nations League quarterfinal in this upcoming international break.
You should have known he was going to score against you when you saw his jersey, or you saw the Lille jersey at Winners.
He's just increasing his next contract that he's going to sign with Juventus in the summer when he becomes a free agent.
And when he'll stop scoring again?
For sure stop scoring again. All right, that's enough of not Canucks talk. Let's get to the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
By the way, for those that missed it, we were alluding to the U.S. presidential election as being the other major thing on the calendar.
Yeah, I mean, I would have just preferred we not mention it. The only updates you're going to get on this show is, like, if at some point, and not during this show.
Yes.
Like, maybe on postgame, if at some point somebody is declared a winner.
Yes.
That's the extent of the political commentary you're going to hear on this show.
And that's where it will be left at. The Vancouver Canucks and the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Atu Ratu going to be making his return to the lineup. Arshdeep Bains was assigned to Abbotsford, and Ratu was recalled. He will play a fourth-line role for the Vancouver Canucks tonight as Pugh Suter moves up to play left wing with Pettersson and Garland on that line, the way it finished Saturday against the San Jose Sharks. Dakota Joshua could be a possibility for Thursday, according to Rick Tocchet. He had a scheduled day off today as the Canucks continue to try and ramp him up and get him game ready. But Atu Ratu gets back with the Canucks, and, you know, he broke camp with the team against really when camp started, when we got to Penticton. You know, sure, you're thinking there's a chance Ratu makes it out of camp, but we knew it was kind of a long shot, and yet, you know, he played well enough that he earned his way onto the opening night roster, and it didn't go so well off the hop. Ended up with one assist in the three games that he did play early in the season. Goes down to play with the Abbotsford Canucks, and has played 8 games, 3 goals, 7 points total, has played all situations, power play, penalty kill, been their number one center, and has earned this call back up to the big club with some stellar play in the AHL.
Yeah, and he was very impressive through training camp. Had, for the most part, a positive preseason.
Yeah.
Obviously, when he came to the NHL, he had some good moments too when he played regular season games. But, you know, you can still tell there was some stuff he has to work on. And I'm not necessarily sure that he's going to come and stick this time around. But,
well, I mean, if Joshua's playing Thursday, they're going to have to make a roster move.
Exactly, right?
Who's that going to be? Most likely Atu Ratu.
Yeah, so it could be a very short-lived stay here, right? Yeah. And we'll see ultimately what happens. And that's something that we're going to keep an eye on. But I do think with what he can provide for the team, it's something that I just think this team needs somebody who can take right-handed draws, mm-hmm. right? That's just something this roster needs at some point this season. Going into the playoffs, you have to have somebody on your roster that's right-handed that can win faceoffs, right? Yeah. Can he be the guy? Now, I know he's not right-handed, but again, as everybody knows, or people would know by now, and if you don't, he flips his grip and takes a right-handed face-offs. So he pretty much goes for a right-handed face-off and face-off man, and he's good at it. Like he wins a fair share of face-offs. He could be over 50% potentially in the NHL if he plays a high amount of games here. If he can be that answer on your roster, you don't need to trade for it at some point this season. So I think that in the big picture, but what is his ceiling ultimately, I think, is the bigger question. But I don't think that's what we're going to explore this year. I don't think this is the season we're going to see what his ultimate ceiling is.
Yeah, it's. I guess we're still in a phase where we're trying to figure out what he is as a player, right? And where he can best fit. Now, I do want to correct myself. I mentioned that the Canucks would have to make a roster move to bring Dakota Joshua back onto the roster. I'm incorrect with that because they waived Nils Åman, sent him down. They also sent down Arshdeep Bains to bring up Atu Ratu. So they're still at 22 players on the roster. They can add Dakota Joshua without having to make another move. Yeah. I just wanted to correct myself on that.
Yes, that part, you're right. But at the same time, to save cap space, and because they're on two-way, that means if he's not playing every day, he could be down in Abbotsford more often than not, right? And when Joshua comes back, somebody's coming out of the roster, right?
Every night lineup. Yeah.
Is it going to be Daniel Sprong potentially, right? Could it be Ratu? I mean, could Nils Höglander be on the outside looking in? All these things are possibilities because the coach has done all those things, and Höglander has already drawn the ire of the coach, and he's on the fourth line. So I think he's another guy to watch, just on, you know, a sidebar to the whole Ratu thing and as far as he stays in the lineup. But I think it's very positive that he's played well enough, and he looks like a real asset to this team. And I think the more we get to watch him, the more we'll know about what he can be for this team.
So I think one of the very positive things is that he went down here to the AHL and scored at a high clip, all right? Like nearly a point a game. Sometimes we have to remember that Atu is still just 21 years old. Now he will turn 22 in the next couple of weeks here on November 14th. But a young player relative to how long his pro career has already been, it feels like. And there's definitely a need on this team to have young players. We've talked about this with Ratu. Ultimately, I wonder, in the NHL, is he going to find a level of offense that can allow him to be a third-line center in the next couple, or develop into that over the next couple of years for the Vancouver Canucks, because that's a need that they certainly have.
Yeah.
That you'd rather, I mean, if you could find a cheaper option internally, it would always be the better option rather than having to go out and pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other part of it too, as far as, again, maybe you don't need to add somebody on the roster, on the fringes of the roster, to take right-handed face-offs. You have him as being part of it. But it also gives you an added layer of depth to what we're already seeing as, I don't know if it's a step forward, but also maybe we should recognize that Teddy Bluger is a decent third line center, and Pew Suter can be a very decent third line center, and he gives you a depth as a fourth liner. And now you have Atu Ratu as being an option for you. So it also insulates you for this year. So when we look at what does this team have to add, or what moves do they have to make, I don't think center is a concern right now for you. We saw them go after Lindholm last year, but given what we've seen from Bluger and having Ratu in the mix, I'm not sure this team is going to prioritize adding a center at some point this year. And I think that's an important thing as we get closer to the deadline, and as this team has a short areas of their team up, and we wondered about this third line, fourth line role. I think the Canucks are in decent hands here, it looks like, down the middle.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, there's an obvious need on defense. And if you're going to spend assets on a trade this year, or major assets on a trade this year, is it going to be on adding a defenseman? And everything we've seen through the first 10 games would suggest that's where the priority should be for this team. And that leads us to the rumor mill with Bowen Byram, whose name has come up over the last 24 hours as a potential player on the trade block for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, how serious is this at this point of the season on November the 5th, when we're still months away from the trade deadline and still very much in the early days of the season? that is an interesting question mark. But the idea that Bowen Byram is out there and available is super interesting because this is a name that has been linked with the Canucks in the past in the trade rumor mill.
Yeah, and I know Friedman on Donnie and Dolly today mentioned it doesn't look like he's truly available right now. Like he's, you know, it's teams checking in and his name is out there and hey, maybe they're gathering intel, but they haven't made the decision quite yet. But it's no secret. It hasn't gone great with the Sabres so far. And he has a contract situation looming at the end of this year as an RFA.
Yeah.
And they've paid a lot of money already to Rasmus Dahlin, of course, also Owen Power too. And they have a bunch of other defensemen kind of in, you know, not to mention Samuelson and other guys coming, but you know, they have a decent amount of guys there. So what are you ultimately going to do as far as that logjam goes at some point? But I think the larger question I have, if he is even available at some point, do the Canucks line up as a good trade partner for Bowen Byram?
Well, what would the Buffalo Sabres really want in a trade? So I can't imagine, like, just think about what they traded to get Bowen Byram. They traded Casey Mittelstadt, who was coming up as an RFA, and they already had a glut of young forwards because they've been drafting near the top of the draft. They've had a ton of draft picks for years, and they're trying to take that next step, go from being a bad team to a good team, and they're figuring out ways to do that. But they don't need more young players. Like, that's the last thing. They don't need more first-round picks. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres have had a ton of those. They've got and have had one of the best, if not the best, prospect pool in the league for years. And what has it got them? So far, a 4-7-1 record. Like, I can't imagine that the Buffalo Sabres are out there being like, you know what we want? We want one of your top prospects and a first-round pick for Bowen Byram. Like, I just, to me, that can't be Kevin Adams, like, number one on my priority list to acquire if I'm going to think about trading Bowen Byram.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say the Canucks wouldn't be interested. I would assume the Canucks would have a level of interest of trading for a player like Bowen Byram with his
Canucks
ability.
They're around it.
They're around everything,
they're
right?
They're making phone calls.
But also as far as he's only making 3.85 million on the cap. So it's not a huge number.
Yeah.
And
but do a new contract next year.
But as far as this year goes, because we've been talking about, okay, what players can you go after? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, there are guys who are UFA at the end of the year, potentially, but those guys, even Chychrun, who we talked about, the way the Capitals are going, is he getting traded at any time?
Yeah, he's probably
soon?
Getting extended at some point.
Right, and Rasmus Anderson is playing so well, and the Flames are happy with him. They don't want to trade him. They want to keep him, potentially.
It's like Provorov is becoming the number one rental defenseman on the market.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
You know, and his ticket is bigger than Bowen Byram's ticket. Mm-hmm. And Byram has control and flexibility, so I can see it being appealing, right? And right now, beyond Quinn Hughes, who's a long-term lefty defenseman?
Like, yeah, people don't really have one.
I mean, we'll see what happens with some of their prospects that are promising. I'm not sure we can count on whether it's Kudryavtsev or Pettersson, DPD, of these guys to be legitimate second pair carrying defensemen. That's asking a lot. Let's see them become NHL
players.
I hope
one of them develops into a player that plays consistently for you.
Yeah. I don't know if they can carry a pair, but hey, who knows? You can't bank on that the next 2 or 3 years at the very least, right? Most likely, I love to eat those words. I love for like one of these guys to emerge. I mean, who wouldn't, right?
Of course.
But you don't see somebody that's an heir apparent. Byram could be that guy behind Hughes. Like, you can see it lining up in many ways because I like Soucy, but maybe he looks better as a third pair guy, right? And we'll see ultimately how he plays the rest of the season. So I can see the appeal. It absolutely makes sense. But to what you mentioned, they don't want a first.
No.
And if they did want one of your prospects, it's like Lekromäki, which you're probably not trading.
Yeah. But even that, like, they've got Kulik, they've got Jack Quinn. I mean, they've got Peterka. Yeah. How many other scoring wingers do they really need?
Well, what about, they have a lot of lefty defensemen. They don't have many righty. Would Willander be interesting to them?
Potentially.
Right.
Like, if I'm Kevin Adams, the two things I would be looking for if I entertain a Bowen Byram trade is... It's funny because they traded Casey Mittelstadt for him, but like, I want a guy that can play center. They probably need a true number one center. I've said this before. Like, I like Tage Thompson, but I don't know if he's a real number one guy or if he needs another guy of similar ability to be up there with him, which is what they hoped Cousins would be, but he hasn't developed into that guy just yet. He's having a tough go early on this season. The other thing, which is the glaring need on their back end, is a right shot D-man. They've got Dahlin shoots left. Owen Power shoots left. Matias Samuelson shoots left. Bowen Byram shoots left.
Yeah.
Their right side right now consists of Connor Clifton and Henry Okaharu.
Yeah. And okay. If they can, like, for, and I'm not saying make this trade, like, you know, I'm not saying this is, you know, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if they're asking for Willander and Hoglander, for instance, like, does Vancouver say yes or no? Like, I don't know where Vancouver would stand on trading Willander, right? But, yeah, like, that's what they're asking for. But let's say that his value is not high enough for the Canucks to think that's a reasonable trade. Then why would they trade him?
Yeah.
They gave up Casey Mittelstadt to get him.
Legit second line center.
They could use a Casey Mittelstadt type right now, right? So a year, less than a year later, are they trading him for 75 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't feel like they would.
So
it feels
me,
like a bad transaction.
Yeah. And if they, let's say they like a righty defenseman, but they're not sure on Willander because he's still in college.
Yeah.
And he might be 2 years away from making the impact they want. Maybe they don't want that. They don't want futures.
Yeah.
So if they don't want futures, that's out of the question. So then ask yourself, is Hoglander in a pick enough? Again, they don't want futures.
No.
I'm not sure. And let's say that, okay, let's say you offer more. You offer Garland or Besser. Yeah. Does that move the needle for them? It might. But then again, like, are you trading those guys? If you're the Canucks anyways, you probably need it. If you're trading one of those guys, that means you have to replace one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, I for me, there's like real doubt as to how good Bowen Byram even is.
Fair. I mean, he struggled,
I know he was
right?
a fourth overall pick. I know he's won a Stanley Cup already. I know he's had flashes of great play. But it's not like the reason we're in this mode where already his name is in the rumor mill because it hasn't gone great for him in Buffalo. There's still some warts there. And we're going to talk to Shayna Goldman about this a little bit more. But, you know, I think there's real concerns about what the ceiling is of this player. The other part, and what was some of the reporting after the Colorado Avalanche moved off of Bowen Byram, was they weren't sure about a long-term contract for him. Because in his mind, he wants to be the guy on a team. And you're not going to be the guy in Vancouver because that's Quinn Hughes.
Fair. But at the same time, how many teams can he be the guy for that can trade for him?
I mean, the team that ended up trading for him, he can't even be the guy there.
Right. But the other part of it is, what has he done that he's just going to be handed the top job even for a team that trades for him? He has to establish himself as an everyday top four defenseman first.
Yeah.
And then we can have a conversation about you demanding the number one job, right? Yeah. So I think he's a ways away from demanding that. And I love the moxie or the want and the belief in that.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be, no one's going to trade for you and give you the number one job yet. You haven't proven that. You have to go on and earn that somewhere and establish yourself. So I'm just not sure that the Canucks line up that great. Yes, I can see. I see people texting in Hoglander. I don't know if that gets it done. I don't know if that's like, I don't, when they traded Mittelstadt away, I don't know if they're settling for that type of a deal. And I see people texting in the Canucks aren't trading Lekrimacki or Willander, but that's what teams are asking for you. And I'm not saying you should trade those guys for Bowen Byram. I'm just saying those are the types of players they're asking, most likely. But if they don't want futures, now your hands are tied.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. Obviously, it hasn't gone smoothly for Byram to end up in the rumor mill again, but it's a trade that I think, in theory, makes a lot of sense for the Canucks. But when I looked under the hood and started to go through, okay, what would a trade even look like? How good is Byram actually? I started to have more concerns after I really dove into it, and I think the conversation we've had here continues on that sort of mantra, where this isn't exactly an easy one for the Canucks to pull off if Byram were to end up on the trade market. Hoglander, Ballard, and a second. I don't know. Keith Ballard still on the Canucks organization? Oh, wow. It's unbelievable. It's an interesting one, because anytime a big-name defenseman, and Byram would be, I think, a big name because of his profile, his track record as a fourth overall pick and those kinds of things. You know the Canucks are going to be in and around it, but we'll see where this one goes and how it develops over time.
Yeah, and I see people texting in, Tyler joking, EP for Byram Plus, and somebody saying PD for Byram Cousins and a Buffalo First. I mean, the thing is, if you want to zoom it out and make it a bigger deal, you can come up with some interesting scenarios, right? If you include more pieces and bigger names. But I don't know if that's very realistic, to be honest. And then the second part of it is, you make that trade. Are you winning that trade as a Canuck? We'll ask Shano about that too. When you trade a player like Pettersson, do you win those trades usually? I mean, a lot would have to go right for you for you to win that. You'd need one guy to be like a, you know, number four, like legitimate top four defenseman, and the forward you get back has to be like a legitimate frontline forward. Like, you need to hit home runs with both pieces for that to be worth it.
Dylan Cousins, a goal and three assists in 12 games. Elias Pettersson, a goal and three assists in 10 games. So yeah, both players off to slow starts.
Again,
so
people are texting stuff and I'm just letting you know that's not realistic. That's it. Like, because we talked about, you know, the Bowen Byram situation.
Be careful what you wish for is what I would say when it comes to the thought process of trading Elias Pettersson. Even though we've all been fairly critical of his play, especially of late. All right, quickly on the Canucks Central Roundup. As mentioned earlier, Arshdeep Bains sent to Abbotsford, Aturatu recalled. He will play tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. Canucks have a 7-game win streak that they've got over the Ducks and looking to continue that tonight. Dakota Joshua not going to play, did not participate in the morning skate. It was a scheduled day off, according to Rick Tocchet, and Joshua is a possibility for Thursday, but that's as far as Rick Tocchet would go as far as Dakota Joshua's return date. And Thatcher Demko, for the second straight morning skate, seen taking shots from Canucks teammates post-morning skate. So still sort of in a low-intensity type of atmosphere, but it's a ramp up from where he has been in recent weeks.
Yeah, it's not a controlled environment as much anymore. It's a slower environment for sure. It's not quite as high paced and intense an environment, which, to your point, is part of the ramp up. You want to, you know, build
slowly
up towards
bring him
it.
Along.
Exactly, especially with everything he's gone through, right? Like, I don't think you want to go and test his absolute capabilities right away. You want to get up to it, because the last thing you want to do is push too hard and then he has a real setback.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, be really slow about it. And how he responds to this is really what I'm looking at here. Do we see him in practice the next time the Canucks are practicing?
Yeah, it's that's going to be interesting. These next few days and weeks for Thatcher Demko as he really starts to near a return and ramp up towards playing in NHL games again. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah coming up. Shayna Goldman is going to join us. Her take on the first 10 games of the Vancouver Canucks and some of the potential defensemen that could be available come deadline time. That's coming up next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.